All right, praise God. Today, I don't know if I'll finish it today or not, but I'm going to at least start it. I'm going to teach, and the title of my message that I'm going to teach on is As You Have Believed. Amen. That's the title of my message, is As You Have Believed. And I was reading the Word, which I do regularly, all the time, and I got into Matthew chapter 8, and I ran into the story of the centurion, you know, the great faith and everything. And, you know, we all talk about how he had such great faith and everything, you know, that faith was, you know, and I've shared this and I've taught it, you know, that faith is authority. He understood authority, and that's faith. Understanding that we have a right to come to God and believe. We have the authority to come to him and receive from him. And as I was reading it, part of the message hit me in a way that blew my mind. And I'm just going to start, you know. Jesus wants to point out something, and this is where I'm going to share with you this morning, that has been sorely missed by his people. It has to do with the incident with the centurion with great faith. Now, we already kind of talked about that. Matthew 8, 5 through, it actually goes all the way through verse 13. It says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers underneath me.'" So he's under authority, and he has soldiers underneath him. "And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now, that's what we're really familiar with up until that point. But something that I missed, that I kind of understand in the sense of how faith functions, but I've missed this up until now, and I've kind of followed it, but God wanted me to really pull it apart and show it to you like never before. Amen? Yeah. All right. Verse 10 goes on to say, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Now, Jesus makes a point of saying all that because he's enforcing to the centurion that if you continue to believe and stick with me, you're going to be seated with those that are not going to go to hell. Right? And so he makes that promise. "Then Jesus said to the centurion," centurion never says anything else after that. Jesus says, "I've not seen such great faith." And then he turns around to the centurion and he said to the centurion, "Go your way. Go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. His servant was healed that same hour. Now, let's break this down a little bit because I couldn't believe what I read in the English. Is this what it's saying in the Greek, Lord? So I went into the Greek and I looked at it, and certainly it is what it is saying. Hopefully you get as excited as I got. Now it says, "Go your way." Hupago is the word for that in the Greek, and it means to lead oneself under, to withdraw or retire, as if sinking out of sight. Thayer defines it as to withdraw oneself, to go away, to depart. And that's what Jesus tells him. The centurion makes this grand statement. "I don't need you to come under my roof." He said, "Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." All right? That's what he says. And he lays out his reason because he understands authority. And he understood that Jesus has that authority. Now, that's all he says. Jesus turns around to him after he says those great things about him. I've not seen such great faith. He goes, many are going to come and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And then the sons of the kingdom are going to be cast out into outer darkness or into weeping and gnashing of teeth, wherever. All right, he goes through that. He turns to the centurion and he says, go your way. You can leave. That's what he said. He dismissed him. He just says, go your way. Sink out of sight. Lead yourself away. We're done here. People have a tendency to hang around waiting for something to happen. And it's when, as you go, that faith works. Now, there will always be the going your way aspect of faith, of receiving. There will always be the aspect of going your way in receiving from God. Jesus didn't say, hang out here until your servant, until we get news that your servant's healed. He didn't say any of that. He said, go your way. You can leave now. Go home.
That's awesome.
The next thing he says to him, and as you have believed, and as, that word as slapped me in the face with a brick. As you have believed. I said, certainly, Lord. Is this in the Greek? Is this literally what you're saying here? And I looked up the word for as, and there was a word for as. It's the word hos in the Greek, and it means which, how, in that manner, i.e. in that manner. As, in the manner you have believed. Go your way. And in the manner that you've believed, so let it be done for you. As you have believed. As you have believed. That's exactly what it's saying in the Greek. There actually uses that as. I just like the way the Strong says it, in that manner. In other words, what was the manner that the centurion believed? He said, you don't have to come to my house, but speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Because I'm a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. And I tell this one to do it, and he does it. I tell that one to go and come, and he goes and comes. Are you listening? In the manner you have believed. Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith, not even in Israel. As you have believed. Say believed.
Believe.
So from the point of you being told, you can go. It's how you leave. It's how you leave. How are you walking away whenever you pray and ask God for help or for something, or for God to heal you or for God to meet a need? How do you walk away? Do you sit around waiting for something to happen? Or do you get up and go about your business? And it's how you go about your business that defines and determines the result. As you have believed, so let it be done for you.
Praise you, Jesus, Bill.
As you have believed.
Glory to God.
When you prayed, were you really believing? When you turned around and got up and went about your day, were you believing? How you go your way determines the results. Whether you receive or not. And I'm going to show you some stuff here. No, yeah, I ain't done yet. As in the manner that you've believed. Say, have believed.
Have believed.
Amen. That word is the word pistio in the Greek, and it's a verb. It's the verb form of pistis, which is faith. Amen? Now, I've come to start thinking in terms of there's faith and then there's belief. There's faith and then there's the act of believing. God separates out faith from the act of believing many times. He declared over the centurion, I'm not seeing such great faith. But when he told him to go home, go your way, he said, as you have what?
Believed.
Not as how great a faith you had, but as you have believed. As an example, Peter saw Jesus walking on water and they freaked out. And he said, the Lord said, don't be afraid, it's me. And he's walking to him on water. Peter said, if that's you, then ask me, you know, tell me to come out there and join you. And Jesus said, come. And he went out there. He started off believing. He gets out there. And what happens? He starts getting caught up in the circumstances. He sees the wind and the waves as if that's going to determine whether he's walking on top of the water. He's walking on the water. And then all of a sudden, he begins to sink. Water gets over his feet. And he cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me! So Jesus grabs him and pulls him into his faith and takes him to the boat. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Peter made a great declarative statement. He said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. Command me to come. Call me out there with you. And Jesus said, come. Peter got out. He started off great, but he didn't last. As you have believed, so let it be done to you. You'll see it, man. I'm telling you, you're going to see it more and more as you read the Gospels.
This is awesome.
All right. Now, this might actually be the missing link, but we'll keep going. The word pisteuo means to have faith in and upon or with respect to a person or thing. To give it credit. It says credit there. That's from Strong's. And it just means credit, to give credit to it. Like I give God credit whenever blessings come my way.
Yes.
I don't care if I had anything to do with it or not, man. I give God the credit.
Always.
Amen. I always give him the credit.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't care how smart people think I am. God gets the glory. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care how many skill sets I've learned. God gets the glory. It means nothing without his hand being on you and his favor extended towards
you.
There have been so many times we've gone through layoffs and I didn't even know about it and I wasn't laid off. When people around me were laid off, God's working on my behalf and I'm not even aware of it.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
All right. Give him the glory. Because he's protecting you, man, when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
Or when you're not looking, that's for sure. By implication, it means to entrust yourself to him. There defines it, the word to have believed, it's the word pisteuo, it's the verb form of faith, to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, again, and to place confidence in. In other words, if you believe something is true, and you believe that God has heard your prayer. For example, is this true? Has God heard my prayer? If I believe, if I think it to be true that God heard my prayer and has answered it, then I place my confidence in it. If I'm not sure whether God answered it, I don't feel any different, doesn't look any different, then I won't place confidence in it. I'll go to plan B. And if it's dealing with sickness and disease, you better have a good doctor. Because you're going to need plan B a lot. Amen? Now, so it's a very simple definition. I don't want to spiritualize it, over-spiritualize it. But the fact of the matter is when you walk away in confidence, he said, go my way. As I've believed, and I already made that declaration of belief, as I've believed, it'll be done for me. So I believe. And he walked away, and it was done for him. He didn't tell Jesus what he had to say. He just said, speak the word only. Jesus said, go home.
Wow.
He didn't even say, your servant's healed. He said, go home Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. He went the hard route with the centurion. Why? Because he wants him to stay with that great faith. The centurion tells his soldier to do something. Once that soldier gets out of his sight, that doesn't mean that what he was told to do, he doesn't have to do anymore. That authoritative declaration carries him there and back, having completed what he's been commanded to do. And that's what he expected. When he went there, he was expecting Jesus to fulfill his word.
Praise God.
Amen.
As I've believed, so let it be done for me. Amen? You guys good with me so far?
Yes.
There are two aspects of faith. This is where we get into it, all right? The initiation, well, the first one is the declaration of faith, which is the initiation of what you believe about something, right? He said, I don't need you to come to my house, just speak the word only. That was a declaration of his faith. Jesus said, this guy really has got the right idea about faith. He understands authority. You'll never walk in authority unless you walk in faith. Faith is the basis of our authority. Amen? The basis of it is the promises of God, everything God's commanded us to do. When he commands you to do something, you have the authority to go do it. If he's given you a promise for something, you have the authority to receive it. Amen? But you have to initiate your faith. And sometimes people don't understand that aspect. They don't realize, I've got to initiate my faith. They just sit there and think, you know, in Jesus' name I'm healed, in Jesus' name I'm healed. And have you really initiated your faith? That's a declarative statement, right? All right. The second part of that, you have the declaration of faith, and then you have the receiving of faith. And I'm going to show you the scriptures. It's not just going to be here. And the receiving of faith is what you believe after the declaration. What are you believing after the declaration? After you've either prayed and asked God to do something, or after you've commanded something to be done, or after you've spoken the word and you've said, Lord, I believe that this is true to me. That's still a declaration of your faith. What happens after that is the receiving of faith. You have the declaration of faith and you have the receiving of faith. What you believe after the declaration. This is critical. This is where most people lose it. Because they don't feel something. They make these great, profound declarations of faith. And then they don't feel any different. And so they begin to question whether it worked or not. Did I generate enough faith? Was I loud enough? Maybe God didn't hear me. Dude, your declaration doesn't have to go above your nose. I've done some whispered declarations. You don't know how many times, man, when I've laid there sick, I just lay there and I just go, I'm healed. Wow. That's my declaration, amen? And then I lay down and I believe it and go to sleep. I'm not afraid to go to sleep. I'm not afraid that I'm not going to wake up. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now, so you have the declaration of faith, the initiation of what you believe about something. Now, you may have to meditate on these sentences here in order to really get some clarity on it. Hopefully, my explanation is helping. And then, what you believe after the declaration, the receiving of faith is what you believe after the declaration. One begins the process and the other is ongoing until the result is done. Right? We find out that he was on his way home. Jesus healed the servant. That's from another gospel. Jesus healed the servant. And he's like, okay, I don't have to believe anymore. Why? Because it's done. It's here. It's manifested. Right? So the other is the ongoing One begins the process and the other is ongoing until the result is done. They are both demonstrated here in this passage. And I'll show you some other passages where they're demonstrated as well. Have believed, as you have believed, is the present perfect tense of the verb to believe. I looked that up in the Greek. Amen? Have believed, as you have believed. Present perfect, or whatever it's called. Yeah, present perfect tense of the verb to believe. It is used to describe an action that happened at an unspecified time in the past, or began in the past, and continues in the present. Now, we all know, basically know that, right? Because, I mean, we all went to school. I don't know if you remember what it's called, but you understand when you say, I have believed, that means you're referring to something you started in the past, and it's ongoing even now, right? But we lose sight of the fact that it is ongoing. This is an action that was started sometime in the past, and it's still going on.
Praise God.
If you drop your faith, is it any longer going on?
No.
No, I've done it many times. I mean, all right. Have believed. So this validates and verifies what I'm saying. You have the initiation of faith, and then you have the ongoing of faith. It's got to continue until it's done. If it stops, and you got to look at those as separate, because a lot of times people think that all they got to do is make the declaration and it's done. No, then you go your way. Once you go your way, you continue to believe that it's done. You have confidence. You put confidence in the fact that it's done. That's all it takes, is putting confidence in the fact that it's done. I prayed. I believe without question God heard my prayer. Why? Because His Word says that whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, it'll be done for me. So I believe that my prayer was heard, and I believe that it was answered for me. Amen?
Amen.
So I have confidence. I'm putting confidence in the fact that it's done. Now, so it starts in the past, it began in the past, and continues into the present. Now, he goes on to say, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. His servant was healed. So it does say that his servant was healed that same hour. It doesn't say that same instant, it said that same hour. In other words, there was a period of time. Even after Jesus did it, there was a period of time at that same hour. His servant was healed. All right? So, and as you have believed, so let it be done. The word done there literally is the word ginomai, and it means to cause, to be, to generate, i.e. to become, to come into being. There defines it as to become, to come into existence, to come to pass, or to happen. So in other words, it's a non-existent thing until it comes to pass, until it becomes. His servant was on his way to dying. The healing was a non-existent thing until it became, until it came to pass. We have no control over when it comes to pass. The only thing you can do is continue to feed yourself on the Word to support and strengthen your ongoing believing. Do you understand that? That's all you can do. Now, sometimes healings happen quick. Sometimes they don't. Who cares? When we know it's going to happen, is there any fear?
No.
Is there confidence?
Yes.
That's the way it should be. That we walk away in confidence, knowing that it is done. That's as simple as you can get. I mean, this is the faith of a child, people. If children can get it, we should. We certainly should be able to. We tend to convolute it and complicate it, twist it all up and then make it hard. Why? Because we want to think we did something, when all we got to do is show the confidence. Make the declaration and show the confidence and stay with the confidence until it happens. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, this last part's going to blow you away. It's real simple. He says, go your way, right? And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So let it be done for you. Not for the servant. For you. I wasn't sure about that. I looked it up. It's the word soy in the Greek. And it literally means, Strong's defines it as to thee. There defines it as to you. It literally means to you. So let it be done to you. Not for you, to you. Let it be done to you. What you've believed, let it be done to you. The servant didn't come and ask Jesus to heal him. The servant didn't send the centurion out to go get Jesus to get him healed. The centurion had compassion on his own servant, and he went to Jesus on his own. And he asked him, he says, look, you don't need to come. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus told him, this is to you. What you have believed for, it is to you. You made the request. To you. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, we see Jesus pointing this out in other places in the Gospels. I'll go as long as I can. Maybe I'll get it all. We see it with the two blind men. All right? Matthew 9:27 through 30a. I cut off the last part because it wasn't relevant. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe? Pistouo. Do you have confidence? Are you persuaded that I am able to do this? And the word able just means to be able or possible, that I am capable of doing this. And of course, the word do there is the word poeo. And I like the way Thayer adds to the meaning of the word. He says to make or to do, but also to carry out, to execute. Do you believe that I am able to execute this, to carry it out? And all they did was come to him and they cried out to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on us. You don't even see here in the sense that they're specifically asking for him to heal their sight. But he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Jesus made them declare their faith. Yes, Lord, we believe you're able to do this. Definitive. Declaration of their confidence in their faith in him. Amen?
Amen.
Then they said to him, yes, Lord. Verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. Jesus said this. And so many people have crucified healing and crucified believing God for healing, saying, oh, you know, it's you say that they didn't have the faith to do it. In all honesty, I'm not sure that they did. But Jesus says, according to your faith, our faith has something to do with it, right? He said, according to your faith. And the word according there, according to, is the word kata in the Greek. And it literally means according to, toward, or along the lines of. But it's from Thayer. So it's definitely saying according to your faith. Your faith. Your is the word humon in the Greek. And it means of yours, the faith of yours, your faith. Not my faith. Not Bill's faith. Your faith. According to your faith, let it be to you. And of course, the word faith, there's the word pistis. It means conviction of the truth of anything and belief. All right? Are they going to put confidence in it? Are they going to believe? Are they going to be persuaded that, you know, that, you know, that this is going to come to pass, that this is happening? He says, let it be. The word let it be is the word ginomai. Think about that. Jesus uses that word a lot. Ginomai. Let it become. Let it come into existence. Come to pass or happen for you. Let it come to pass and happen for you. But guess what? He says to you. To you. According to your faith. To you. Do you believe? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we believe. I believe. Guess what? Verse 30, and their eyes were opened. Now, this was a miracle of healing. Amen? So it happened immediately. There was one other blind man that Jesus had to minister to a couple of times before he got his sight. You know, he made some mud, smeared it in his eyes, went and go wash his water, and the guy came back and he said, he goes, what do you see? And he goes, men like trees? Jesus prayed over him again, and his sight came to him. And he's like, well, Jesus never prayed over anything more than once. He never ministered more than once. He just, bam, touch him, and it was done. No, man. Their faith had something to do with it. The woman with the issue of blood, she's the one that determined, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she crawled through the crowd and got to the hem of his garment and touched it. And Jesus yelled, whoa, who touched me? Because he felt power leave him. Turned around, looked around. His disciples were like, are you out of your mind, man? You're being crushed by people. And he turned around and they all spread out. And there was the woman. She's on her knees like, sorry. And then he had to make her understand, woman, your faith has saved you. Your faith made you whole. Wow. He had her to understand that it had nothing to do with the hem of his garment. It was her faith that drove her out there. In the face of possible death and everything else. Yeah, she was unclean. If they'd have caught her out there, they'd have stoned her on the spot, man. They were so busy getting caught up with Jesus that they didn't see her pushing her way down on her knees through the crowd trying to get to his hem. According to your faith, let it be to you. That's cool, huh? John 4:46. This is the nobleman of Capernaum. And it says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Unless you see, he was challenging the man. Are you going to have to see this happen? You're going to make me go all the way to Capernaum just to see your son be healed? And the nobleman said to him, well, let me kind of dig into this a little bit real quick. Unless you see, and this is interesting, the word see here is the word eido in the Greek, which is typically the word that's used for to know, but it also means to see, to perceive with the eyes, to look at, behold, to know. So he says, unless you look at it and see it happening, you know, sorry guys, you will by no means believe. By no means means certainly not at all, by no means. In other words, that's what he's saying there. You will by no means believe. And again, we have think to be true. It's pistiuo, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. You won't place confidence. And Jesus said that to him with a reason, on purpose. He said it to him on purpose. Why? He was not going to go to Capernaum. God told him to go to Cana. He does what God says. He's not going. And this man is demanding him. He's imploring him to come and heal his son in Capernaum. He's like, I'm not going to Capernaum. That's all. I'm not going all that way. I got work here to do. And he challenges him. Unless you see signs and wonders, you'll by no means believe. He's challenged him. Can you believe without having to see it done? Can you believe without having to experience it instantly? And the nobleman said to him, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go your way. Here we go again. Go home. Go your way. Your son lives. That's all he said. Your son lives. Now, Jesus wasn't going to turn down healing people. So what did he do? He sent his word and healed him and delivered him from his destruction. Go your way. Your son lives. The word go your way here is not the word hupago here. It's the word poreomai, which literally means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. To continue on one's journey. He says, continue on your journey. Go home. Your son lives. Here we are back to, withdraw. Go home. Depart. This guy was faced with, am I going to believe? Am I going to believe what Jesus says? Am I going to believe that my son lives? Am I going to believe? That's what faced him as he turned around and walked away. So the man, look at what happens here. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. The man believed the word. Pistiuo again. He believed the word. The word there is for word is the word logos, and it means there of speech what someone has said. He believed what Jesus said and what Jesus spoke to him. And he went his way. He continued on his travels. That's the word there. He went his way. He continued on his travels. All right. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour which he got better. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew. And the word better there, actually, the word better is kind of interesting. When he got better, it literally is a combination of two words, the word echo and the word compsoterion, and it means to have or to hold better, to convalesce. He started convalescing. He started getting better. Amen? It's kind of cool. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Verse 53, so the father knew, gnosko, absolutely knew, that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, Your son lives. And he himself believed and his whole household. Now here's a man that was faced with, why do you got to have signs and wonders? I don't need to go. Your son lives. Go your way. Your son lives. And he went. He believed what Jesus said. He goes, I got to believe. He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. He believed the word. He believed the word. He believed the word. Isn't that what it says? Why can't we believe the word and walk away and go about our business? So the father knew it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, Your son lives, and he himself believed in his whole household. Now this believing came, he believed what Jesus said. But then when that got confirmed to him, that his son lived, and it was the same time Jesus said, Your son lives, he believed. Not just he believed in Jesus. Him and his whole household believed in Jesus. And I'm telling you, I believe that guy became a believer later on. Amen? Amen? He believed in Jesus. He knew who he was dealing with. at that point. He's the Messiah. He and his whole household believed. Why? Because you know what? He gave his word, and his word was true. Here's the one about the 10 lepers. I love this. This is one of my favorite stories. It says in Luke 17, 11 through 9, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.'" That's all he said. They said, "Have mercy on us." He said, "Go." The word "go" there is the word pareomai. Continue on your journey. Go on. Go on. Go to the priests. Show yourself to the priests. Doesn't this seem almost random unless you understand what it means? When somebody was clean, or they believed that they were cleansed of leprosy, they had to show themselves to the priest, and the priest would confirm that they were clean of leprosy, and then they were allowed back into society. They were allowed to come and go and live with people and interact and so on. Up until that moment, if you had leprosy, you were out in the hills, buddy. You came close and somebody would kill you. They wouldn't mess around. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Go show yourselves. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Go your way. Pareomai. Go your way. Get back on your journey. Continue on. And go show yourselves to the priest. The word "show" there is the word epidekneumi. And it means to exhibit, to show, to prove, to demonstrate, to set forth, to be known and acknowledged. In other words, he's telling them, using that word, he's telling them, go prove it out that you're healed. Right? He sent them off. Go your way. And as you have believed. And it says right here, it says, So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed of their leprosy. All right? And that's kind of one of the meanings of the word "cleanse." It means to pronounce clean in a Levitical sense. All right, in the Levitical sense means that they saw that they were healed of their leprosy. Now it goes on, it says, and one of them, when he saw, all right, when he saw, eido again, to see, to perceive with the eyes, to notice, to discern, discover, when he saw that he was healed, cured, aeomai, to cure, he saw that he was cured, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Giving him thanks. Eucharistio. To be grateful. Actually to express gratitude towards. He fell on his face. He glorified God. Fell on his face. And gave thanks to Jesus for his healing. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? The 9 lost track of their believing. They cried out for mercy. Jesus said, "Go your way. Show yourself to the priest." And they all went. The Samaritan was going to go show himself to the priest. He believed. And all of a sudden he realized he was completely clean of leprosy. And he turned around and ran back to Jesus and threw himself at his feet and thanked him, glorifying God and thanking him for his healing. We need more of that. "Were there not 10 cleansed?" Jesus said. "Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?"
Oh, wow.
And he said to him, "Arise, arise, go your way." Go your way. Pareomai. Your faith Your conviction of the truth of what I told you to do. Your faith, your confidence in the fact that I healed you. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now here, in this case, made well is the word sozo. And it literally means to save. This is from Thayer. To save, to rescue from danger or destruction. To save a suffering one from perishing. I.e. one suffering from disease. To make well, to heal, to restore to health. How can anybody say that healing is not part of our salvation? Are you ready for the next one? This is a good one.
Yes.
This is Mark 11, 20 through 24. We see Jesus doing this at the fig tree. And I'll show you. Amen. Verse 20 says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now remember the day before, Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? You guys all know the story? He cursed the fig tree, said, "No man eat fruit from you from now on, hereafter, and forever," right? And he went on his way. And he was coming back through the next morning on his way. In other words, Jesus practiced what he preached. He made his declaration and he went on his way expecting it to be done, believing. Amen? Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, they will become, he will have whatever he says." Now let's back this up a second. Let's take out the whole mountain part. Are you good with that, or is that okay? Let's just take out the mountain part and look what he says. "I say to you, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done." Be done means is genomai, to become or come into existence. He says, but believes. He believes, pistiuo. He is convinced, he thinks it's completely true. He's persuaded and he's putting confidence in the fact that he believes that it will be done. Whoever says and does not doubt in his heart. Whoever says, that's the initiation of faith, right? That's the declaration of faith. And does not doubt in his heart. In other words, he's fully confident. But believes. He walks away. He goes away. He continues on his daily affairs. He goes about his business confident, believing that those things he says will be done. Right? Is that what Jesus is saying here? That's exactly what he's saying here. And guess what it says? He will have whatever he says. Here, the word "will have" is actually the word isomai. Isomai is the future tense of to be, and it means will be. And so what he's really saying is, not that they will have it, but it will be whatever he says. Whatever he says will be. In other words, it's guaranteed to happen. It'll take maybe a little bit of time. It's in the future, right? But it will be. That's the promise. It will be. Jesus, you don't hear him talking to that tree again. Do you? He cursed it. They left and they went into Jerusalem and he taught. I think it was the day that he turned over the money changers' tables. And they came back. And they went to the Garden of, I don't know where it's at, the Mount of Olives. Because they used to go and they'd sleep over there in the Mount of Olives. And they went over there and they spent the night at Mount of Olives and they came back down and they headed back into town. Jesus didn't even look at the tree. He didn't even look at the tree. And it was already withered. He had already forgotten about the tree. He had already made his declaration, and he was confident that what he said would come to pass. Did it happen instantly? No, it took a full day. Because it was in the morning when he walked up to it, couldn't find any fruit on it, and then cursed it. And then it was the next morning when they were passing by. Peter said, "Hey, Rabbi, look. Rabbi, look." Isn't that what he says? Remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look. The fig tree which you cursed is withered away." Jesus wasn't even looking at it. Jesus walked according to this himself. He went about his business. He made his declaration, went about his business, confident that his word would come to pass as he said it. And he took the moment to teach them the same thing. If you believe, he said, look, whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. Some of you are tired of all the negative things happening in your life. You need to check on what you're saying. We put more confidence in negative things than we do in the Word of God. Amen? Now, I'm going to finish it up with this. Verse 24, let me just get into that real quick. He says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," whatever things you ask when you pray, that's when you declare your faith, right? When you pray. Whatever things you ask when you pray, he says, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe that you will receive them, that you receive them. And the word receive there is the word lambano, which literally means to gain, to get, obtain. Believe that you got them. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. He's defining the process here that we have. Go your way as you have believed. He already made, centurion made his declaration of faith. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. So let it be done for you. He's telling you, he's verifying everything I shared with you right now in this. Now, in closing up, in these examples above, we see three things that Jesus spoke to the centurion. Matthew 8:13, it says, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way." We got to learn to go about our business.
Yes.
Stop sitting around waiting on God to do something. Go about your business.
Amen.
All right? Go your way. And as you have believed, hold on to that faith that you released at the moment you made declaration. And keep that confidence in you. Well, Pastor, what if I feel like I'm waning? Get in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you think you feed that believing process? You feed it with the Word of God, with the promises of God. All of the Word will feed. You don't have to necessarily go to the promises that you're leaning on. You can just read the Word, and the Word will feed your faith. It'll encourage you along. It'll exhort you along. You'll get stronger. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Let it come to pass for you, for you, to you, to you. Amen? What God is going to do, He's going to do to you and for you. It's to you that it's to be done. Did you get anything out of this today?